Apex Central listeners, you can find us every Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What's up, fellas? I am your guest host for today, Ben Mintz, joined by Rico Bosco, and I kind of think it's fitting because we're kind of the two Football Friday guys here. Rico, how are you?
We invented Football Friday.
I feel like Football Friday went on long before me.
But no, we invented Football Friday. Been doing it for years. Original ones to do it. Excited. Halloween. I'm touching on it in a blog. Halloween. Well, I'll always be amped about college football on Halloween for that Texas Tech Texas game.
Oh, the Crabtree. Yeah, I remember that one well.
Unbelievable. I had Texas Tech to win the whole thing, like preseason. They were fucking great. Graham Harrell, that like blacked out environment, the ABC 7-8 o'clock game, whatever it was. Musburger on the call. I will never forget that. Unbelievable game.
No, it was. That was a famous game when Crabtree scored at the end. And I got to say, what a Halloween football weekend we've got. I think, you know, last week, so much talk in college football, the card was bad. We got a loaded card. We got some awesome NFL matchups. I'm always a high-energy guy. I know that's not news to anyone, but I'm just chomping at the bit because I'm going to New Orleans in like an hour and a half after the show, too. And I've got a monster weekend planned with sports, music, and all that. And I promise I'm going to entertain all you guys if you follow me on social media. All right, let's get into some stuff first. Last night, I'm having a horrible month. I've owned it all month. I mean, there's nothing you can do. But listen to what happened last night. I had literally – so Aaron Jones had that touchdown at the end. Would have hit the Fantasy Football Factory pod parlay for plus 6.75 units. Rico, and I had Aaron Jones over 59.5 yards.
What did he end on?
59. Oh. After the one.
Oh, well, you're welcome to my life.
Yeah. After
Aaron
the one
Jones, graveyard.
The 1 yard touchdown got called back, cost me that, and the parlay. It was like an 8-unit swing. I ended up just getting crushed again last night. It was absurd. I did have Green Bay. But what did you think about the win for Green Bay? I mean, we kind of talked a lot about it on the show yesterday. All of us had Green Bay. Thought it was an overreaction to Adams being out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's crazy. Rodgers must have watched Pick Central after week one when I literally questioned if he cared. I thought he was just going to – he just didn't care. They're 6-1, or what are they now, 7-1?
Yeah, so
7-1,
6-1. Well, it's just funny. The week one, they lost 34-3 to New Orleans and Jacksonville.
He just didn't look like he cared.
Yeah.
He literally didn't look like they cared. He's back on a mission, I guess. It's kind of a fuck you tour. They looked good, obviously, without Adams. Jones, as much as, you know, he kills my prop parlays, he's a great running back. Dylan is a serviceable backup. Seems like they're working him in a little bit more. Tanyan is almost like Gronk with some of these, you know, it just seems like a tight end in space. He's always there. He's always open. That might have been an NFC Championship game.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. And I don't know. What a win for Green Bay, though. And I know it's bad news for Frank the Tank and his dream on living with El Presidente, yes. But we kind of all knew that was
could have got that a little bit further. It would have been more fun if it got a little bit further.
Yeah, but big win for Green Bay. And, you know, what it does is it throws wide open. You know, you look around the NFC and the top seed, you've got the Rams with one loss, the Cardinals with one loss, Green Bay with one loss, and then you've also got Dallas, who's sitting in such a good spot because that division's so crappy. You know, like, they've got so many of those easy NFC games. They don't play any playoff teams from last year until week 11. So a lot of teams are going to be fighting for that top seed.
I still think Dallas has a tricky one. They go to Minneapolis this weekend? Are they in Minnesota?
Yeah, so it's a Sunday night, and I think Dak might be out. I'm seeing some weird stuff going on with that line.
Okay, so that's a tricky one. But, yeah, I mean, the NFC is it's kind of wide open. A lot of loaded teams. Does it seem like people are forgetting that the Bucs are at the top there too?
Yeah.
Rams, Cardinals,
I just forgot to mention the Bucs.
Exactly. I've done it a bunch of times too.
Which is ridiculous because I'm going to see that game Sunday at 3:25. And we're going to get to that game for a little bit, too, because that's a monster, Bucks at Saints. But, you know, the NFC, it's weird. You've got these elite teams, and then you look at the AFC, everybody's got at least two losses.
Right.
And it just kind of feels like Buffalo sitting maybe in the best spot just because also same thing as the Cowboys. The AFC East is so weak. so they probably have the weakest schedule. But
who do you think has more legitimate Super Bowl contenders, the NFC or the AFC?
I think the NFC. Like, I think deeper? The NFC is deeper. You know, you look around the AFC, Buffalo looks like one. You know, the Titans have played really good the last few weeks, but they're also notoriously flaky. They play up to good teams as an underdog, and then they play like crap when they play bad teams.
Yeah.
They're kind of one of those teams. I think the Colts are coming on. You know, the Bengals are a great story, and I certainly love Burrow and Chase, but I'm not willing to talk Super Bowl just yet. I do think they have
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens have flaws. So who's the real AFC, like, you put the Chargers there yet? I mean, they haven't done anything. So is it really, you know, like, true Super Bowl contenders? Is it really just the Bills, the Chargers, and, like, maybe you talk yourself into the Ravens?
Well, here's something I took and added to my card, Rico, and I'd like to think if you think I'm crazy. I actually took a flyer on the Colts at 30-1 to win the AFC this week. Because, and here's why, I just think it's wide open. They have four losses, but the leader has two. And when I've watched them play lately, Wentz and Frank Reich are in sync again. And Wentz looks comfortable. He's moving well. His mobility's been so bad the last few years. They got Quentin Nelson back, the road grader at guard. Jonathan Taylor's running the ball well, and I like the defense of Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner. I'm not saying the Colts are going to make the Super Bowl. I'm just saying at 30-1, I think they can get into the playoffs, and it's freaking wide open.
Yeah, we were looking at them to win the division when it looked like the Titans were going to lose to – who did they have on that Monday night? Buffalo?
Yes.
Right. So if the Titans had Buffalo and then Kansas City, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but it looked like they were going to lose both of those games. The Colts were right there. I think the gap is a little deeper, but I don't hate the flyer like we talked about. There's no real true contender. If you think the Colts are going to play well, I kind of like it at 30-1. Now, if you tried to talk me into something 30-1 in the NFC, I would say no. Because it's
no, exactly. It's, and look,
we
I'm
know
not,
who's going
to
get it.
And like I said, I'm not coming on here when you take a long shot flyer. Like, I have the Bengals 10-1 AFC North. I'm pumped about that right now. But when you take a long shot flyer like this, I'm not coming on here saying the Colts are going to win the AFC. I'm saying the playoffs are going to be wide open, and they could be one of seven teams in it, and literally anything.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the Chiefs might not even make the playoffs. Like, talk about wide open.
Yeah,
and you know. So,
what do you think of the Colts Titans game this weekend? Colts by two. I actually like Indy, obviously.
In Indy?
Yeah, in Indy. I think Tennessee's due a letdown off those two big wins.
Yeah, you would think. Seems like the Colts have it a little bit more circled coming in. They're a little bit more desperate. Tennessee's riding high. I kind of like the Colts -2.
Yeah.
It's one of those I'm probably not playing. But you're asking me aside. You've talked me into the Colts. I like the Colts -2.
Okay.
Tennessee, I mean, how could you get any higher than beating Buffalo and smacking Kansas City, right? Like, something's got to go wrong.
Tennessee can lock up the division almost halfway through the season with a win here because they beat Indy already 25-16 a couple weeks ago. If they win this one, sweep them, I mean, this division's over.
Right.
This division's
over. Oh, no, absolutely. To hold the head-to-head with two in a row, forget it.
It's over. So, real quick before we just forget about it completely, World Series Game 3 tonight, 1-1 heading back to Atlanta. Bunch of stuff going on in this series. Charlie Morton being out, I think it could rear its ugly head pretty bad in Game 5. I mean, they Braves have already been playing without Soroka, their ace all year. There are going to be a lot of bullpen games. Atlanta is undefeated at home in the playoffs, though. How do you see? I mean, this feels like it's going to go 6 or 7.
Yeah. The guy pitching for the Astros tonight is what, Garcia? He's got like a 9 ERA. I did look at those numbers. Ian Anderson on the hill for the Braves?
Yes, I believe so.
I believe so. I looked at it quickly. I'm on Houston on this one, even on the road. It's let's see the pitching matchup real quick. It's Luis Garcia and Ian Anderson, right?
Yeah, so, I thought it was Ian Anderson.
Yeah, Luis Garcia with a 9.64 ERA. So, I mean, that screams to you. But with like that said, I think the Astros kind of have a chip on their shoulder as well. A ton of people saying, like, oh, well, they cheated this and that, and it's carrying over. And, again, they just come up with some big hits. I mean, Altuve's a fucking beast. You know, the lineup's deep. I'm going to take – I kind of – it's weird to me that Houston has a plus sign in front of them. I'm going to take Houston.
Yeah, it just feels like a series that's going to be back and forth with a lot of near pick'em games. I mean, I know that's like a kind of a cop-out saying, but I think we got two pretty evenly matched teams. I'm worried, though, that Morton thing really hurts Atlanta. They're going to have to lean so heavily on their bullpen.
Deep-wise, yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm actually looking to see which way it's moved. All right, yeah, so it's actually essentially a pick'em. Houston -109, so, and the Braves -109, so it's essentially a pick 'em. I will take Houston either way. I don't really care. I think Houston's got a lot deeper roster. I like what they can do. It's death by contact, and then they kind of kill you with some long balls too. I like Houston.
Okay, I didn't really have a strong opinion on this one tonight. I know Atlanta's home field being undefeated in the playoffs does. You got to give them some credit for that. All right, Rico, this is a rare occasion you and me get to do a show together, and we're going to go pretty – you know, we all know Barstool. We all mess around all the time. That's what it is. But you and I, we're going to get pretty technical and run through these games today. People in the chat are wanting it too, running through it. We're going to wait for Ange for her FCS stuff. I don't have too much to say about tonight. I want to get through the big games. First, just quickly touch Cincinnati's 26 at Tulane. Tulane quarterback Michael Pratt could be out with a concussion. He's in concussion protocol. I don't know what to think. The reason I bring this game up, I'm going to this game. I got a field pass this game in New Orleans Saturday at 11. Super pumped about that. I'm looking at Tulane as a 26-point home dog, but kind of homery. Do you have any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so I backed Cincy last week, and I think I was a victim of that Navy style.
Okay.
Wasn't as many possessions. Cincy won ugly, probably had some opportunities to do a little bit better, had some turnovers in the red zone that I remember. Navy just kind of sitting on the ball. I do think Cincy is playing for style points. I don't hate laying the 26, but Tulane can score. To me, I look at the over.
Okay.
Even with that, I worry a little bit about the backup
Tulane's
quarterback.
Tulane's defense is really cratered right this year. They've been, you know, they had that first weekend, they had that second half where they came back against Oklahoma and they only lost 40-35, and everybody was talking about Tulane, and things have gone kind of south.
Yeah, I would lean with the over here. I know it's tough to go against Cincinnati's defense.
61.5 weather conditions look perfect in New Orleans.
Yeah, I do think you're going to get a ton of points out of Cincy because Tulane can't stop anybody. And then maybe you get the couple of scores you need from Tulane. I like the over.
Okay. Iowa, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 3.5. Lowest over-under I've seen all year at 36.5 for good reason. I mean, I guess I like Iowa plus 3.5 just because 3.5 is a ton in a game. It's going to be so low scoring. It feels like a 2017, 17-14 game either way. What are your thoughts?
I don't really have many on either of these teams. The way it's weird to me that Wisconsin is kind of like a meh program now, or having a meh year after being almost a certainty to get to the Big Ten championship every year, you know, with those great running backs and championship aspirations. I guess the line tells you what you need to know. Wisconsin minus 3.5, unranked at home against Iowa. Why is that the line? Probably telling you Wisconsin. I'm never going to bet it, but I would say Wisconsin.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm trying to run through all these. Do you have any thoughts on – you can just say pass if you don't.
Yeah.
We're trying to run through them. Miami's plus 9 at Pitt. Do you think Pitt could roll here? Do you trust them laying 9? 8. Underdogs in the ACC are crushing against the spread this year.
Killing it. Normally, I would say Miami's got to have some kind of fight, right? Like, Pitt can't be this good. But Pitt just may be a team of destiny. I don't love laying the 9, but I don't know how you could back – Miami, other than the classic, like, too many points. Nothing Miami does excites me, you know? Like, nothing of what's going on. King's out. I like Pitt.
Okay, yeah, I think so, too, especially because they're trying to run it up. Kenny Pickett playing so well on offense. All right, next game, this is the one. So, the College Football Barstool Show is at East Lansing tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern start. Michigan's a 4-point favorite, over under 50. Both teams undefeated. Wouldn't have seen this coming before the season started. Jim Harbaugh and Mel Tucker both doing fantastic jobs. I like Michigan State as a 4-point home dog here. They're 9-4 in their last 13. I mean, this feels like a pick 'em game, and you got home field advantage. What are your thoughts?
It does. Big environment. Noon kick. They'll be getting after it early in Sparty. The big thing to me here is the Spartan defense gives up 406 yards a game. Michigan gives up 298. Almost 100 more yards a game here. The Michigan State's 121st against the pass, but Michigan's 101st against the pass offense. So they got to have an ungodly type of pass game to really stifle Michigan State, which I don't know if they're capable of doing. I think the home field advantage, I think the chance to ruin, you know, that little brother element, ruin Michigan season. I kind of like Michigan State here in a back and forth because it's above 3. And it's even above 4. I could lose 21-17.
I mean, I think it's a close game. I'm looking at the first half under at 24.5.
Yeah, you're telling me, you know, Michigan's got to win by a touchdown, basically, to cover your spread. I don't know if I love that. I'm going to take Michigan State. I do think they have a chance to win the game.
I do, too. I mean, 9-4 in the last 13 in this rivalry. That's pretty good. Texas is plus 2.5 at Baylor. I've been back and forth on this one all week, which means I don't need to pick it.
Okay, so I do have some numbers with Baylor. Their defense is 19th in points per game, 36th in yards, 29th against the pass, and 48th against the run. Texas, 94th points per game, 106th yards per game, 76th against the pass, 115th against the run. Now, if you ask me who's got a more explosive offense, Texas. So could Texas change those numbers and be an outlier to Baylor and give them problems? Absolutely, especially with Bijan Robinson. With that said, I think I've been on Baylor a couple of times here as an outright dog, I believe, to Iowa State. I think Baylor, that defense is elite. People have been sleeping on him. I like what Aranda's doing.
I love Dave Aranda. I think I'm on record saying LSU should they let the wrong guy go on the Aranda thing.
I also think I really do. I think Baylor now is a sleeper to get to that Big 12 championship game, maybe even beat Oklahoma outright November 13th in a couple of weeks. I like Baylor here.
Baylor's been tough at home. They beat Iowa State.
And what are you holding? You're holding 2.5.
It went 3.5 to 2.5.
I love
what I'm
that.
Seeing on the bar.
I don't really care. I think that's a name brand with Texas. People don't know enough about Baylor or have looked into it. I like Baylor minus 2.5.
Do you think, just quick, Iowa State kind of started slow and come on strong in recent years? Do you think that's what's going on again with them?
Who do they have this
week? They're at West Virginia, 7.5.
No, I just think they're one of those teams that just can't get over the hump. Like, they'll be preseason 10 all you want. They're never going to win the one they're supposed to. They're never going to be a championship contender. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Good, not great. I know that's cliche, but that's kind of what Iowa State is to me. Good, not great.
I have a pick on Washington State, Arizona State. I actually love Arizona State by 14.5. Washington State had all that weird stuff happen with the coaching and the vaccine stuff, and they all quit. They actually covered +4 against BYU last week.
Fits.
I actually think this is the week they get blown out.
Okay.
Now going on the road.
Second week in a row.
Yeah, and now this one's across big trip.
All right, I like that.
I kind of think that's one I'm looking at. Continuing to run through the board. Florida State +9.5 against Clemson. Boy, this one I've been back and forth, but I just can't lay 9.5 with Clemson right now. I mean, they just can't score. And then also Florida State's been taking crap from Clemson for, what, 7-8 years? You know that they got a shot at them. You got to think this is a game they're going to circle and play.
Florida State, and I would look, if you're getting crazy, I would look at the money line with that because of the same reason. So if you don't think you can lay 9 with Clemson, doesn't Florida State have to be in the game with a chance to win it potentially?
Yeah.
Clemson
hadn't covered a spread yet this season.
Yeah, I don't love it, but, I mean, some wacky shit always happens end of October, November. I think Florida State here is worth a shot, even as bad as they've been. Florida State.
All right, let's get on to the next one. Georgia, Florida. Georgia's 14, over under 51.5. This is one of those, man, I hate laying 14 anytime in a rivalry game, but last year in the first half of this game, Florida either scored 35 or 38 points. It was like right after I got hired. And I recall Trask and Kyle Pitts and Tony just went freaking nuts. And I feel like with the rivalry, Georgia's been thinking about this for about 365 days.
I agree with that. I also think Florida knows how much it means. And I don't think Florida's going to want to – like, Florida knows they're supposed to get blown out. I think they're going all in. I like it more at 14.5. It's moved a little bit. I'll take the 14 here. I think Florida can be spunky enough. Look like shit against LSU.
You think
right?
they can fight them kind of like they did Alabama?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Probably a little lower scoring, though.
Yeah, just a little bit. Georgia's defense is great. I'll take Florida here.
Okay, taking the 14. Florida's – I just don't know. The Florida game, okay, I know they've fallen off this year, and I've actually got – I'm getting bagged on because I'm having a bad month, but I've had some good picks as well. And the Florida under – I've already pushed because
right.
the LSU and Kentucky losses. The Georgia win here, I get to the window
winner,
on it.
Yeah.
My thing with Florida, how the hell do you allow Davis Price of LSU to have 287 yards rushing? LSU hadn't been able to run the ball all year, and that concerns me just greatly. I mean, Ole Miss held them to 67 yards last week.
Yeah, but what's Georgia going to do against them?
You got to think they're just going to pound the ball after that.
I just can't believe it.
I just Todd Grantham's on his last leg.
I do. I know Florida's playing is having quarterback issues in the sense of it just seems like they're playing the wrong guy. But if they can air it out, they can keep it close. I kind of like Florida here plus the 14.
Okay.
Has Georgia technically been tested all year?
Well, it's weird if you say that. I think winning at Auburn 34-10, I know that Auburn may not
no,
be great.
No. Yeah, what I meant more so, like not a necessarily game
into the
tested.
No, a game into the third or fourth quarter that gets uneasy.
Yes. Has Georgia sweat yet?
No.
And I would say no.
Well, they beat Clemson 10-3, but it was like they won by 7, and it felt like they were up by 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Because Clemson couldn't get a first down.
Also, I think more – that would – yeah – wasn't really a sweat. Whatever. That game was ugly. I meant more a sweat here of a big-time favorite and in a game you're not supposed to lose. Plus, I think the more and more you go undefeated, the more and more that pressure adds up. So I do think Georgia's due to sweat soon. I'll take Florida plus 14.
Okay. All right, moving on. I've got Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma sleptwalked first half in Lawrence, Kansas. They were down 10-0 last week. Kind of came around, ended up winning by a couple touchdowns. I feel like they should blow out Texas Tech. Texas Tech is 5-3, though.
Yeah, Texas Tech just fired Wells.
I know, they're 5-3, too. I was a little surprised by that. No strong opinion.
I think Oklahoma's kind of due for a blow-up, but it's crazy because Williams was playing so good for 2 weeks, and they look like shit against Kansas. They got to fight for their life against Kansas. Need a miracle play to pull it out of their ass, essentially, last week, right? Maybe Oklahoma's back due for the blowout.
I felt like they sleptwalk. That was a sleepwalk, just trap game at Kansas where they just were like, whatever. We'll
19.5 and an over.
Okay. Two big SEC Mississippi games I want to hit on here. This line's been going back and forth in this Kentucky-Mississippi State game all week. I saw Mississippi State by 2. I saw it move all the way to Kentucky by 1.5. Now I'm seeing Mississippi State by 1. Over under 47. I think this is another low-scoring Mississippi State game. They've been playing them all year. This one, Kentucky likes to run the ball. I think this is a lower-scoring game. I've been back and forth on a pick on this one, which means I need to stay away. Who you like?
Oh, it's Dave's best bet. He's on Mississippi State.
Okay, I can see that.
Lower tier. I don't want to disrespect Kentucky because they were ranked. Are they still ranked?
Yeah, Kentucky's number 12. They have one loss in Georgia. The thing is, Kentucky beat Florida. They beat LSU. I like how well they play on defense. I mean, their defense has been really good the last few years. They have a good running game.
I know your record is your record, and you're 6-1 in the SEC, but does that really – so Louisiana Monroe, who's been playing better.
Yeah, but
– cover machine. Missouri, not good. Chattanooga, South Carolina, not good. Florida's okay, and LSU's okay, and then lost to Georgia. Does that resume really constitute 12 in the country?
What Kentucky's got is the East is falling apart behind Georgia. Florida falling. No, I'm saying that makes their – it's kind of could be fool's goldie.
The SEC always has some teams ranked towards the end of the year that don't belong –
the West is so much deeper, though. Like, the East is just, like, literally, it's like Georgia's really good. But when Florida steps back, I mean, it's like Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina's rebuilding. Missouri's been disappointing.
Yeah, that resume, to me, just doesn't stand out as 12.
Okay.
You know, so these lower-tier SEC teams, if I don't really have a feel on, that's a straight pass. I'll be rooting for it in the pick 'em parlay with Dave, Mississippi State. So now I do have a vested interest. And I like Leach, but kind of really no feel.
Okay, I think I'm going to stay away from it, too. If Kentucky's favorite, I like Mississippi State in a home underdog role, though. I feel like Leach flourishes as an underdog, as I've talked about.
Yeah, he beat Texas A&M outright.
All right, let's talk about this old my school. Boy, tough, tough one for Ole Miss Saturday night. I mean, like, Ole Miss just cracked the top 10, 6-1, having a great season. I've said this forever. Auburn has the most underrated home field in the Southeastern Conference. You hear about Death Valley and the Swamp. You're about all these fancy stadiums, et cetera. I'm telling you, it rocks Jordan-Hare. I've been to games there. It's a Saturday night game. Auburn's coming off a bye. Ole Miss is a beat-up, banged-up football team. I think Ole Miss could win. You got Lane Kiffin. You got, when you're on the road in a hostile environment, having a quarterback that's calm is, like, the most important thing that you trust. And Matt Corral, the troops feel that. But this one's going to be really, really tough. I'm staying away from it.
Yeah, Bo Nix is a fucking enigma. He used to be fade Bo Nix. He's playing a little bit better, right?
Well, what happened was he got benched in the Georgia State game.
Yep.
And then he came back against LSU and played well. And since then, he's been playing well.
Right. So, Jordan-Hare was the kick six, right? They won that game at home against Alabama?
Yes.
Yeah. So that stadium is, I mean, you've been there. I haven't been there. But, I think the injuries, Corral, I don't know if Corral's going to be, what are they saying?
He's playing.
Right. But they're going to limit his runs if he takes a hit.
The problem is with Ole Miss right now. The receiving core is the issue.
Okay.
Top three receivers. Dontario Drummond's playing, but he's hurt. Braylon Sanders has been out. I don't know if he's going to get back. I don't think he's back for this game. Jonathan Mingo broke his foot. Without those three guys being healthy, you got all these freshmen out there that don't really know how to run routes yet and are inexperienced. And so Corral's gone throwing from 350, 400 a game to like 180, 200. And so they've been having to run the ball. He's been having to use his legs and lean on that. The defense has played a hell of a lot better. I mean, Ole Miss games, you noticed how the overs have been just crushing lately? The defense is playing better. But, gosh, this is a tough matchup. Look, I hope they pull it out. But this one has me concerned.
How's Auburn secondary?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, they're solid. Auburn's defense is always solid. Their running game with Tank Bigsby's good. It's tough. It's a tough one. Ole Miss could still win. I think Corral, you know, such a gamer, could pull it out. But I don't see Ole Miss going down there and blowing them out.
This is Dan's lock in the pick and parlay. He's on Auburn.
A lot of sharps are on Auburn this week. I've been getting a lot of texts from
Dan Sharp. I want that on record. Dan Sharp. I'm on Auburn, you know, by default. So it's Auburn.
Okay. Yeah.
I just do think, you know, the injuries with you guys. You're kind of out of the national championship race now, you know, like,
yeah,
you could still have a good 10-2 season, 9-3 season, like, but, you know, I don't know. And you talked about it, home field advantage. I like Auburn.
Yeah, that's what has me concerned as well. But hopefully they pull it out. I mean, it's been a great year at 6-1. Tough next few weeks for Ole Miss has at Auburn, Liberty at home, then Texas A&M. SMU +1 at Houston. This is that weird unranked favorite over ranked thing we talk about all the time.
Can Auburn still win their side?
They lost. So Auburn lost at Penn State, which is non-conference. They won at Arkansas. They won at LSU. They got smacked by Georgia. I mean, technically they could, I guess. It feels like they had a worse year, but they pulled out that Georgia State game.
So I'm looking at the standings. Bama's 4-1. Obviously they get Bama at the end of the year.
Yeah, at home. Auburn gets them at home.
Ole Miss right now is 3-1. Auburn's 2-1 in the conference.
Yes, so they could. They really control their own destiny when you really look at
they
it.
They do, right?
Yeah, and they get Ole Miss and Bama at home and Jordan-Hare.
So Texas A&M next week is difficult.
That's good. But
Texas A&M.
You know what's weird? The road team's been winning that game in that series the last year.
At Texas A&M is definitely difficult, but that's the SEC. You got to go through the gauntlet. Mississippi State should be a win. At South Carolina is a win, and then you get to Alabama. So – yeah, I think Auburn now, having said that, now Ole Miss could win their side. They lost to Alabama, so they can't win their side.
Yeah.
Auburn seems like it's playing for a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I kind of like Auburn in this one.
Yeah.
I actually have talked myself into that from just Dan's lean to. I like what Auburn's playing for. I like Auburn.
All right. North Carolina +4 at Notre Dame. This line looks kind of ratty. And Kyle Hamilton being out for Notre Dame is a huge loss on the defense. I mean, I'm kind of looking at Carolina here.
Carolina stinks, relatively. You know, another team that was top 10 and Heisman and Sam Howell this and Sam Howell that. But I think it's Carolina money line or obviously Carolina +4.5 if you want. But I think it's Carolina money line or no play to me here. I just, for whatever reason, again, Notre Dame, a good season, out of the playoff discussion. Relatively, in my eyes, going to need a lot to overcome that. Again, a team can have a 9-2 season and still be okay. 9-3 season. I really like Carolina here to get one last one. Howell's playing for draft position. I like Carolina.
I like the point. Notre Dame wins close a lot too, so I actually like the points just because of that factor. All right, a couple more games to get to here before we're joined by Ange in a second. Penn State's +18.5 at Ohio State. Everybody up here thinks Ohio State's going to murder them. Do you agree?
It's tough. It's tough because, I mean, I hate them, but, you know, they can play some defense. They know that they have a shot to now ruin Ohio State's season. With that said, I do think Brandon Walker made a point. I said it on Pick Central. Play a unit on each of the three guys. Stroud at 6 just to cover your bets.
Okay.
Henderson and Olave at like 50-1, or now he's 20-1. Henderson and Olave was what, 60 or 100?
Olave was 100 earlier this year.
I think at one point, I do agree with Brandon. We talked about it on Pick Central. Ohio State has the most marquee games here in Heisman contention, or like, they're, you know, the Heisman's not set up. I think Ohio State starts pounding people. I still believe Ohio State is right there with Georgia as far as the best team in the country. They lost week one to Oregon with a freshman quarterback, whatever. I think Ohio State's poised for the national championship. It's why I picked them. I think Ohio State can route people.
We saw them. This is similar to the year they did it when they lost to Virginia Tech early, when they won it in 14, where they had like that early season loss. And maybe that like helps them. Maybe it gets them together. I don't know.
Also think State Penn could hold this to like 7 at the half. And Ohio State just scores what they need to, the 2 touchdowns late, or gets a college football play and a pick 6, flips the field, long play, whatever. And the next thing you know, they can win. Now, the most likely case to me is Ohio State wins 45-10. Okay? Laffer. But I do think that Ohio State is still good enough to win ugly 28-7.
You see, my thing, 31-10. When I look at this game, like, everybody's talking about Ohio State scoring 50 points. I don't see it that way. I think Ohio State's defense has improved a crap ton since they've got Kerry Combs off the play calling. He didn't adjust in that Oregon game. Oregon just ran that pitch left to Verdell the whole game. Never adjusted. I think Ohio State's defense is playing better. I think Penn State's defense is still good, and they'll play hard. I think Ohio State can win like 34-13.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so ugly and
over under, I'm seeing
ugly and still cover.
60 over under. I kind of might look at under then a little bit. Two more college games to get to. Utah, 6.5 at home against UCLA. I like Utah. I think they're catching UCLA in a good spot off that tough loss to Oregon. Utah's home road splits every year are huge. They lost at Oregon State last week. I think it's a bounce back spot for them.
Yeah, so I backed Utah last week because against Oregon State was a loser. Quietly, that kid, his name's escaping me now. He's got a simple name, but he took over for Charlie Brewer, and he put together like a 3-1 run or a 3-0 run. They were playing really well, and Utah, I backed. UCLA, high aspirations early in the year, kind of faded a little bit. Pac-12 doesn't make a lot of sense. I take Utah at home. They do play really well at home.
All right, cut two. We got just like two more college games, and then we're going to get to Ange. BYU, so Bronco Mendenhall heading back to Provo, Utah, getting 2.5. Over-under 64, who you like here?
I backed Virginia last week with Georgia Tech. That got sweaty at the end. Virginia was in control. I know it's – were the games in BYU?
Yes, Provo.
Yeah, all right. That's tough to go out there and win. But either way, I'm on this Virginia team. I like Brennan Armstrong. I'm on Virginia here, even in a really weird hostile
I feel like Mendenhall knows so much about BYU still, even though he's been gone 3 or 4 years.
I like Virginia.
I still feel pretty good about that. Do you have any thoughts on this San Diego State's 1-1 against Fresno? I know you're a Mountain West guy.
Yeah, San Diego State. I went against them last week. I shouldn't have. Ronnie Rivers is probably not playing for Fresno State. He's going to break school records. I think that hurts their run game. Hayner's good. He can test San Diego State through the air and maybe open some things up. But I'm going to take San Diego State here, -1.
And finally, a crappy game here. Washington +2.5 at Stanford, over-under low at 48 for good reason. I don't see how this is my first half unders thing I like to look at. Stanford, Washington, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Michigan, Michigan State are the three I'm looking at this week.
Okay. Yeah, just ugly, no play, to be honest with you.
All right, we're going to talk about crowd health. More than half of Americans are on a high-deductible health insurance plan on the hook of thousands of dollars for deductibles, copays, and sky-high premiums. For many people in the U.S. concerned about the cost of health insurance, there are no good options. You either go uninsured or you pay through the nose for a high-deductible plan with questionable coverage, all because of a broken health insurance system. Hey, health insurance is expensive. That ain't news to me. Crowd Health is able to offer amazing prices with health insurance because of its community of health-conscious members. For a limited time, our listeners get the first month free. And after you've been a member with Crowd Health, you will also get a free fitness wearable. 30 days to try risk-free and a fitness wearable. To join, you just go to joincrowdhealth.com/fit and enter code PICS at sign up. That's joincrowdhealth.com/fit, promo code PICS. Crowd Health is not health insurance. It's a community-powered alternative. Terms and conditions may apply. I want to welcome Angelina to the show. She joins us every Friday, the queen of the FCS. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Rico and I, the big Football Friday guys, I'm having a blast. Pick Central, we have such a fun cast of characters, but I think this is the first time we've ever gotten to, you know, this three combo has gotten to work together. So, enjoying it. So, have you had a chance? The FCS lines, they come out Friday or Saturday?
They come out Saturday morning. They usually get released like 7 a.m. to like 11 a.m., like one by one. You have to like keep refreshing it.
I feel like I've never seen
it's
this.
It's like Christmas.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fascinating to me. Because the FCS lines have just become a thing. Yeah. You know, usually couldn't find them a couple years ago. And now you've brought big attention to it. I mean, it's a cool niche.
Thank you. I mean, like, some books still don't even have it yet. So, like, it's cool that, like, we're able to have that here and, like, I'm able to do it. But it is kind of difficult because sometimes, like, you wake up early and, like, your games aren't on until, like, 11 a.m., like, on the books. And it's like, this sucks.
Right.
But
who's Nova got?
Anyway, we have
Nova number 4, right?
Yeah, we're number 4 in the polls.
Still undefeated?
Well, we're I think 6-1, 7-1.
Oh, you lost one?
To Penn State, but that's because Penn State bought us.
Yeah, so
Penn State bought us.
Yeah, that one doesn't count.
It doesn't. But yeah, we're 6-0 against our FCS opponents. Right. We're taking William and Mary this week.
Okay.
William and Mary has a good team this year. Like, they haven't really had a good team in like the past, but this is one of their better years. So they're still kind of looking for, like, their own statement win, but we've had our own statement wins, like JMU. We just beat Rhode Island last week 44-0, which was insane because no one was expecting that to happen.
Nice. Were y'all just, like, how big a favorite were y'all last week?
I think we were 13-point favorites.
Wow, covered by 31 points.
Okay. Yeah, it was insane. No one was expecting us to do that well. But anyway, this week, if Villanova opens by, like, a favorite of like 9 against William and Mary, I'm 100% taking it or anything less. So that's
9 or less.
9 or less.
That's the number. Key number, 9.
Key number is 9 for Villanova for me.
Okay.
The next one that I liked was Dartmouth and Harvard. I like Harvard by 3. I like them by a field goal because both teams are 5-1 and 2-1 in the Ivy. And Harvard just played Princeton and they're coming off of like a hard loss because even like the officials were saying how they messed up in overtime and like how they're bad calls and everything. So I think that Princeton's going to come back this week. Not Princeton. Harvard's going to come back this week, like really fighting.
Yeah. Okay.
Pissed off.
Yeah, I think they're pissed off. So Harvard by 3. Because it is going to be a close game. Like they're both fighting for like that extra win in the Ivy. So then Furman and Chattanooga. Random teams, I understand. No one knows anything about these teams.
Don't they usually play the football playoffs in Chattanooga and FCS? Or they used to?
I am unsure of that.
Okay. I know they used to.
But anyway, Chattanooga by 7. I like them by a touchdown. Furman's coming off of a loss against East Tennessee. And Chattanooga just beat East Tennessee 2 weeks ago by a touchdown. I think that it just makes sense to take the favorite by a touchdown to a team that lost to another strong team that Chattanooga just beat. And they're a home team with solid defense, and they proved that they know how to control the clock with their run game. So Chattanooga by 7, if they're favored by 7 or anything less, I will be taking them. And then lastly, I have Alabama A&M against Alabama State.
Okay.
It's a pretty big matchup. It's one of their big rivalries.
Within Alabama.
It's the new Iron Bowl.
It's within Alabama, yes. But yeah, it's a big matchup for the FCS. I'm taking A&M by 5.
The new Iron Bowl.
I'm taking A&M by 5. It's a big rivalry game, and A&M has won 3 times like since 2018. And I think that A&M is just more consistent with their offense. So if they're favored by 5 or anything less, I will be taking them.
I've been corrected by the chat. So Frisco, Texas is FCS playoffs. I think it used to be in Chattanooga.
Got it.
It's been moved. We're getting good feedback on me and you talking the football. All right, let me tell you about Cuts Clothing. In 2016, Cuts founder Stephen Braley felt boxed in by his wardrobe. He hated having to compromise between style and comfort, so he decided to do something about it and started with reinventing the humble plain tee. The result, a tee that GQ calls the only shirt worth wearing. Stylish enough for the boardroom or the street, comfortable enough for workouts in the gym or nights out at the club. You might think, do we really need a new take on the t-shirt? Short answer, yes, yes we did. Cuts focuses on versatility and comfort and just released their new always-on joggers, designed to never take a day off, even when you do. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's work, leisure, apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order at cutsclothing.com/picks. That's cutsclothing.com/picks for 15% off your first order of Cuts Clothing. Let's talk some NFL, Rico. I'm ready because we got a nice lineup this weekend on that.
Anything in the main side of college?
Yeah, my bad. Let's hear that.
The main side of college, yes. So I have 5 right now. Buffalo minus 13.5.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bulls.
I absolutely love it because yes, Bowling Green is 4-0 against the spread as an away underdog, but Buffalo is 8-2 against the spread in their past 10 games as home favorites.
I had 8-2 against the spread in the last 10 as a home favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, is that what you said?
Eight and two.
Last 10. Also 10-1-1 against the spread in their last 12. Home games. Okay. And I'm going to give you this. How about Kevin Marks is back?
Yes, I
have
4
yards
that.
A carry.
Mm-hmm.
And where is the quarterback Kyle Van Treese from? Do you have this in your notes?
I don't have that.
He's from Ohio.
Okay.
Bowling Green is in Ohio. The last 2 times they played him, 49-7, 42-17. Buffalo's going to whack him.
I also just think that Vegas has underestimated Bowling Green the past couple weeks, and this line is basically overcompensating for what they didn't have the past couple weeks where Bowling Green has covered.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bowling Green pulled an outright upset to Minnesota.
To Minnesota, right?
32-point underdog. Yeah, Rico, I know you remember that one. Tough one.
I wasn't on that one. I was on Minnesota against Miami of Ohio, another MAC team.
Okay.
Where they
were up, yeah, they were favored by 23. Yeah. That was the week two. That was the game after the running back got hurt against Ohio
right.
State.
And then did they lose? So they beat Miami. I think they beat Miami of Ohio.
But they didn't cover, and they lost
right.
to Bowling Green.
And then lost outright to Bowling Green. And I was like, PJ Fleck, like, how can you want this guy? Long story short, I do like Buffalo's run game. I know that Buffalo was weird because this year, coming into this year, they were supposed to be a MAC powerhouse and kill it. And then they lost a ton of guys. It seems like now they're starting to put it together. Mm-hmm. I think it's two teams in different directions. Bowling Green's back down. Buffalo's finding themselves playing well. I think Buffalo's going to smack them. I really do.
I completely
smack
agree.
Smack them.
I also had Pitt minus nine.
Okay, we talked about that a little bit. So, Kenny, that's an interesting one because Pitt could roll them very easily.
They can.
Is it? I hadn't checked the weather report in Pittsburgh. You can catch Miami when they're not having bad seasons. They quit when it's cold. They will quit. When it's like those South Florida guys, when it's 30 degrees outside, they are not afraid to lose 35-0.
I like that.
And so I don't know what it's like. We need to check. I'd like to see that Pittsburgh weather report if it's getting cold.
Well, Pitt is also fourth in the nation in scoring.
Kenny Pickett's 10-1 to win the Heisman now.
I think that Kenny Pickett, if he was at an Alabama, an LSU, an SEC program, he would be the front runner.
What time is that game Saturday?
12? I think it's 12.
12? It's got 55% rain, 50 degrees.
Okay, that's not too bad.
You know, Pittsburgh will be ugly. I like that.
Okay. But I just know that, like, those South Florida teams, whenever Florida State, Miami, like, those kids that go there go to compete for national titles.
Right.
When it goes bad and they're 3-4, 3-5, they check out.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
They don't have that, like, let's show heart, let's get to 6-6, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so you can catch them in that spot sometimes.
Yeah. I love Pitt. I've been following Pitt this entire season. I think they're amazing.
They
I love Kenny Pickett. Like,
he's been in college longer than I went to. Well, maybe not. But he's like he's been starting for like what is his fifth year?
Yeah, it's his fifth year. Okay. I like Wake Forest minus 16 against Duke. I think that Wake Forest is going to beat them by a little bit more than 16. They're averaging 43.5 points per game and. No one has held them to under 35 points this season, and I don't think that Duke's going to be the one to be able to do that.
Don't. Duke's defense is pretty bad.
Yeah.
I do think Duke is kind of spunky on offense a little bit and can run the ball. I took the over. And I know it's – Katie says the numbers go against me. When you score over 60, team scores over 50 or 60, the next week take the under because it's very unlikely, and especially Wake put up fucking 70 last week.
Yeah.
But I think Wake can hang it on everybody. I like the over even at 70. I think Duke will get me the 17-21 I need because I do think Wake can hang it on people.
Yeah.
I like the over.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that even though like Wake's defense isn't amazing, I think that they're going to be able to hold Duke down to like 3-4 touchdowns, but Duke is still going to be able to score like 3 touchdowns.
Also, if you do think it's a blowout early, Duke gets some points garbage time as well. Helps you with the over, so makes sense.
Okay. Is that all the colleges? Give me more.
I have one more.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say Florida State plus 9.5.
We like that too.
Clemson is 0-6, 0-7 against the spread.
What's that? You going to sprinkle a little?
Sprinkle.
I think Florida State can win it. I do.
Yeah.
Clemson, you can't trust them.
ACC underdog. I
really don't like Clemson, and I was thinking about the money line in that game. It's just because, like, I just think that the Clemson quarterback situation is a complete mess and that Florida State's going to take advantage of the fact that like their offense is just actually like really messy.
Just think of it this way. Unless you get a backdoor from Florida State, they're down 14 or they're down 10 and they score truly in the last minute for the backdoor. Other than that, if you think it's going to be a close game, 9 means Florida State's going to be within one score, down 8, down 7, down whatever it is. They're going to have a shot to win it late.
Yeah.
You might as well take a shot on the money line, in my eyes, especially the way Clemson's been playing. They play like shit, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo with Paint Your Life at a truly affordable price. Choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. It's a user-friendly platform that lets you order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes total. Quick and easy process. You get your hand-painted portrait in about 3 weeks. You could send any picture, yourself, your children, a family, a special place, or a cherished pet, or even Halloween costumes this weekend. You can combine your photos into one painting. Makes a perfect birthday, wedding, anniversary, or a gift. At PaintYourLife.com, there's no risk, If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now is a limited time offer. Get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. Get the special offer. Text the word Central to 64-1000. That's Central to 64-1000. Text Central to 64-1000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. We got about 10 minutes left, so I think we can touch on a few NFL games before we
absolutely
hit to our card. I want to hit on one. I'm going Sunday. I'm freaking nobody. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, y'all that follow me. I love New Orleans, and going down there Halloween weekend is like Halloween weekend in New Orleans is all time one of my favorites. I'm doing 60 hours down there, and I'm going to tear it up. That much I can assure y'all. Bucks Saints, let's touch on the game part of it, Rico. Tampa, 5.5 and over under a 50. My point I want to make, I think the over under is 8 to 9 points too high in this game.
Really?
Because Tampa scores a ton at home. Three games Tom Brady against the Saints last year. 216 yards a game, 4 touchdowns, 5 picks. Saints can't score right now with Jameis, especially until Mike Thomas is out. I think we're looking at a 2017 football game here.
Okay. It does fit the system for me, and I haven't been too many this year.
Home underdog division
game. Home underdog division game. I'm just taking the Saints blind.
No Antonio Brown. Look, I know I'm not sitting here coming on here as a homer Saints guy saying the Saints are going to light it up on offense. Tampa's pass defense is a little weak, but the Saints receiving core is dust right now. You got the ghost of Kenny Stills out there. I mean, it's bad. Saints are going to win this game. It's got to be defensively, but I think their defense can keep them in it. They played well against the Bucs and Brady last year. I know Tampa's in better sync this year. Antonio Brown is out. Gronk is going to come back. Marshawn Lattimore has shut Mike Evans down every single game the last 3 or 4 years. Be on the lookout for Evans is under. He struggles against the Saints. I'm looking at the Saints and the under, and I can't wait to see the Halloween costumes and people dancing.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in the dome. I'm going to do clips and stuff for the.
I do like that. I think, I mean, New Orleans is a home, especially that weekend. Yeah. I'm on the Saints.
Okay. We talked a little bit about Titans, Colts. I'm kind of looking at Atlanta by 3 over Carolina and how bad they're fading. Atlanta's doing that thing where they start crappy and then they kind of quietly cover some games, win some games. Do you have any thoughts on this one?
Atlanta.
By three and home.
Yeah, it's. To me, it's the Falcons.
Darnold's just struggling so bad.
Right. Again, it's. I mean, to steal a line from Big Cat, like, think of it in the simplest terms. Again, well, last week they were favored, but it's Sam Darnold on the road. Trust Sam Darnold?
Like, no, and they've lost
even
four in
worse,
a row.
Last year was a better spot. Last week was a better spot to get him on the road as a favorite. No way. I'll take the Falcons.
Falcons kind of, they're a little, I don't know. I feel like they're playing a little better here.
It's just two bad teams. I mean, I'm going to go with the Falcons. Cordell Patterson's been coming along. I like the Falcons.
Okay. We're not going to be able to hit all of them because we're running a little lower on time, so I'm going to skip the crappy ones. I actually, this is a crappy one I want to ask about. Is this the week for Detroit? I mean, they're playing Jalen Hurts at home.
I do. I think so.
I mean.
I don't think so.
You don't think
so? I don't agree.
They got heartbroken last week.
This is, the line's minus 3, right?
3.5.
3.5. I like the Eagles.
Okay.
Man, they got to win one at some point. I know Jalen Hurts is good fantasy quarterback because they're running. He's just not an NFL passer. I mean, it's just like he can't get to his third and fourth options, when you like watch him. But he's a good runner. Steelers-Browns. Browns are 3.5. Nobody knows if it's going to be – Mayfield's been limited in practice. I think Chubb's coming back this week. Any thoughts on Browns-Steelers?
Browns still favored by 3.5. Huh?
Steelers are a lot better in the underdog role. They always play like crap when they're a big favorite. This is a tough one.
It is a tough one.
All my games moved. Like, all the lines to my games completely flipped.
I'm going to take the Steelers.
Okay.
But it's ugly. Although, I don't know. Mayfield, nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, torn labrum in your left shoulder. I mean, I know
he's coming back.
He's limited in practice this week. They don't know who's playing.
I'll take the Steelers, especially if they could dictate the tempo with Harris and just start pounding on Cleveland.
Man, money's coming in on Indy. This thing was Indy by 1. Now it's all the way up to 3 against Tennessee.
Yeah, I took the Colts plus 1 when it first came out.
Okay. I like the Colts. I like the Colts.
That's my team. The Colts are my team.
I took them 30-1 to win the AFC this week.
Really?
Just tiny, $10
See,
fire. But.
I mean, I took them in the beginning just because I was like, you know what, that's my team. I got to stick with it. But I saw it open this week at plus 1. And I was like, I think that's what it opened at, right? And then it moved to like 2.5. Like, I took it early on. Now Colts are like minus 2.5. I'm like, okay, like, I guess I got it at a good time. Right. Like, I still feel confident about the fact that they're going to win.
I think Indy, I really think they're coming around. I like how Wentz is playing. I thought they played very well on the road in that bad weather. Frank Reich and Wentz have a good chemistry from back when they did well together in Philly. Quentin Nelson being back on the O-line, Taylor's running it well. And, I mean, DeForest Buckner and Darius Leonard are, like, two of the best, what, 10 or 15 defensive players in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think Indy, in a wide-open AFC with everybody having two losses, I think they're going to be a playoff team, I think.
See, the one thing that really made me concerned about Indianapolis is the fact that their loss to the Baltimore Ravens. I just think that them blowing such a, their lead in that game, is, okay, there's probably another chance that can easily happen, but I don't know. I think in this game they're going to win.
Chat, everybody in the chat, Sam Baker's playing. If he's limited in practice, he's probably that means he practiced.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's banged up. Steelers kind of desperate here, 3-3.
So Vikings line has gone all the way to -3. Dak Prescott's got to be out. Because Dallas was a 1.5-point favorite.
I took Dallas at -2.
And now it's Minnesota by 3. Dak's dealing with that calf. Everybody assumed he'd be okay coming off the bye week. But if that line has moved 4.5 points, I can damn sure tell you the only way it's doing that is if Dakota Rain Prescott ain't taking the field.
Who would Dallas be starting?
It's bad. Is it Cooper Rush? Is it? I mean, it's because they don't have Dalton anymore. Who is the backup right now for Dallas? No, it's Garrett Gilbert, I think. I think it's Garrett Gilbert, the SMU Texas guy.
Yeah?
I think. It's bad. It ain't Dak Prescott. I mean, the line moved 4.5 points for a reason. And the other thing with Dallas, too, I don't mind them being conservative, keeping Dak out to get healthy, because they've got a lock on that division, Rico. They have a lock. They're like -2,000 to win it. So why not make sure Dak's healthy if you're probably going to have a home playoff game anyway?
Plus the Vikings. So the Vikings are, like Smitty says all the time, 3-3, right? You know, middle of the pack in the NFC, which is you're going to need a good record to get to a wild card spot with some of these teams. The Rams and the Cardinals, obviously. I think the Vikings have to win this one.
Cooper Rush starting.
I just worry. I don't know. I was looking at the over. If Dak plays, I love the over. If he doesn't, but I think it's got to be Minnesota.
Do you know if the line jumped or climbed? Did it jump?
Look. It was Dallas by 1.5 yesterday, and then I saw this morning it was Minnesota by 2.5. Now it's 3. So, there's just no way they think that Dak's playing. It wouldn't move like
that. There's not a lot of value in betting the worst number possible. Yeah,
they said that if it was a playoff game, Dak would be playing, but because it's not.
That's what I was just telling Rico. And it's because that division's so crappy that they don't feel that urgency to win.
It jumped.
That makes sense.
The line completely jumped, so he's probably not.
All right, let's get to our picks for today because we've got a few minutes left. Look at our standings. I'm getting crushed this month, and last night I could have won 8 units, and that Aaron Jones 1-yard touchdown get called back just screwed me out of a +675 parlay. But whatever. You're what your record says, so just keep hating on me, chat boys. I still know gambling, though. If you listen to me talk about lines, I'm pretty sure you can tell I'm not an idiot, but maybe that's just me. Brandon Walker leading at +12.65, but still a 3-horse race. Rico, who you got tonight?
Tonight I have the Astros, as we mentioned. I am on the Portland Trailblazers, the Hornets +5, and the Nuggets -1.5.
Okay. Tonight,
they've actually been doing okay.
Tonight, I got Nevada by 20.5 at home over UNLV. NBA, I have a few. I actually went Clippers +3 on the other side on that one. I got the Heat by 6.5, the Raptors by 8 at home against the Magic, and that's all I got for tonight. And do we have all our other guys' picks too? Did they all turn them in, TJ? Yes, so we got Smitty. We're showing him on the board. And I want to give a shout-out to TJ, too. He does an unbelievable job producing the show every day. The new templates he's been showing for the lines with the NBA and college football, we're lucky to have him. Follow at TJ Hitchings on Twitter. Does a phenomenal job. Zah, awesome.
I was about to say, Zah, no shout-out for me.
Yeah, huge shout-out for Zah, too. Nobody brings more flair to the Barstool, really, and just your all in general. Huge fans of y'all. We're lucky to have y'all. Big fans. We got Marty's picks up. He's got the Astros, Navy, Nets by 1.5, and he's got his tip-off parlay he hadn't come out with yet. Megan has the Raptors by 8, the Kings -2. And Megan going against the Pelicans. Can't say I blame her. They're struggling. And she's got an Astros boost at +170 tonight. And Brandon has UNLV +20, Kings by 2. Everybody's going against the Pels. Can't blame them. Denver Nuggets by 2 and the Cavs +7. Brandon currently in the lead for the month. Big Ev, Nevada, back in Carson Strong. Tulsa by 11 against Navy. And Braves money line. Boy, this is just pick 'em baseball game. hard one to read. Y'all got any fun plans for Halloween weekend?
No.
Your kid. You're not at a point where Halloween's trick or treat yet.
No. Down the road, maybe. I said I've really only enjoyed Halloween in college.
I'm petrified of Halloween. I've never liked Halloween. But I am going back to school for Halloween, so that's
there you
exciting.
Go. Well, I'll have enough fun for all y'all combined for sure. Because this New Orleans, it's called Nolaween, the New Orleans Halloween.
Yep,
it's a real thing. I lived down there from 09 to 14, and still have big ties down there. And it's my favorite weekend. And look at the football calendar: Cincy, Tulane, Saints, Bucks. Not a bad little combo there.
Little Nola pool parlay.
Little barstool content down
little
in
Nola
little
parlay.
Home dogs. Both home dogs.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to get a read. I'm this Pratt Tulane. I just don't know what's going on with him being a concussion protocol. I will take Tulane in the points if the quarterback plays, but I can't. I'm doing everything I can. I'm texting people. I'm not getting a straight answer. So until I get that, hard to tell. But anyway, I want to wish everybody a safe and happy Halloween weekend. College football show live 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow from East Lansing. The only college football show that matters for Michigan State. We're going to have Barstool Sportsbook live streams. I believe they're going to be back for the second half of Michigan State.
Yep.
We also have Barstool Sportsbook live streams for the World Series tonight, Saturday night, and Sunday, and we'll have the witching hour. So be on the lookout for those live streams all weekend long. And I just want to wish everybody a safe and happy Halloween. I hope everybody has half as much fun as I'm about to have this weekend. Ange, thank you for coming on. Always enjoy having you on a Friday.
Buffalo.
Rico, really,
Buffalo.
Really fun to finally get to do a show with you.
Buffalo.
And Zai and TJ, y'all killing it as always. Stay tuned. The Yak is up next. And have a safe and happy Halloween weekend.